Chthonic, written by Catboy Dogma, read by Opal Song. Fandom Star Wars, rating mature. Relationships: Fox Quinlan Vos, Cody and Fox. Also tagged for Meet Ugly, Getting Together, Let Fox Say Fuck, Anti-Clone Prejudice, Fluff, Angst, Womp, Emotional Hurt Comfort, Regular Hurt Comfort, Canon Typical Violence, Gore, Corpses, Mind Control Aftermath and Recovery. This is the one that I like to call, What If the Love of Your Life Was Really Fucking Annoying? Enemies to Coworkers to Lovers. Enemies to Lovers. World Building. Planet Coruscant. Coruscant Guards. Coruscant Underworld. Coruscant's Haunted. Horror Elements. Falling in Love. Fix It. Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence. Order 66 Didn't Happen. Past Torture. And Referenced Decommissioning. Warning for graphic depictions of violence. Part 1 of the Benighted series. Recorded for Lattice Frames for ITPE 2022.
Chocolates and some cheap perfume. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Hope it's better than mine, cause my dog's about to die, yeah. Got her back when I was 15. My parents split up so they gave her to me. A consolation prize, a real dream, dream. But she always liked my mama better.
Chapter 1. Act 1. Down in the deep of my dark. Hey, tube fucker! Fox didn't flinch when the bottle hit the lintel just above and to the right of his head. He didn't flinch when it broke and shards of glass fell around him like rain in the night. He stood at an easy parade rest, helmet clipped to his belt, and his eyes fixed on the same neon billboard straight ahead that he'd been staring at for the last 2 hours. His knees had locked, and he was pretty sure anyone who wanted to move him would have to bodily lift him out of the position. "I'm talking to you, lab rat." The Natborn was getting closer across the walkway, and then they were in his face, shoving him back with two hands to the cuirass and yelling so loud that Fox could feel spittle on his face. He wanted to put his bucket back on. He didn't want to be here. He wanted to be anywhere but here. "Think you can just march in here and..." A brown and black blur shoved the Natborn off him so fast that Fox felt himself rock back slightly on his heels, like a breeze-blown jug. He turned his head. A Jedi, of all things, had the Natborn pressed against the wall with one forearm across their chest and a grin full of teeth on his face. "You want to go home and rethink your decisions and stance towards sentient rights." "Technically," Fox wanted to say, "I don't classify as a sentient." "I want to go home and rethink my decisions and stance towards sentient rights," the Natborn agreed in a slow, dazed voice, as their eyes slowly glazed out of focus. The Jedi let them go. They shambled back off into the night. Fox cautiously bent one knee with a painful pop, and then the other. He glanced at his Vambrace. 5 minutes left on his shift, and then he'd get to go back to the Senate Rotunda and stand stiff-backed in front of someone else's door. Hey. Fox eyed the Jedi, keeping his face blank. What was this guy playing at? You all right? You have, The Jedi reached out. What for? Fox had no idea. He steeled himself. He did not flinch. He did not back away or close his eyes or stiffen. Sorry. The Jedi dropped his hand and scrubbed the back of his neck, locks rustling in a subtle susurrus with the motion. Fox didn't know why he bothered. Everyone knew Jedi could read minds. There's glass in your hair? Didn't want you to cut yourself. Fox bent his head and shook it, ruffling a gloved hand through his hair to get rid of it all. There were probably smaller fragments in his hair. It was too dense and curly for him to really be rid of everything in one go. But it was better than jamming his bucket back on with it all still there. And you've got it. The Jedi gleamed at him. Fox was pretty sure most Natborns didn't smile that much. Or weren't supposed to. Sorry you had to deal with that. Then again, it wasn't like he was a fucking expert on Natborns. Speaking of Natborns, Fox squinted at the Jedi. He was tall, almost half a foot taller than Fox. He had warm, umber skin and a gleaming gold stripe across the bridge of his nose. His locks were a deep, oaky black and fell loose over tunics that strained against the breadth of his shoulders. You were at the guard headquarters last Tongues Day. His voice was gravelly with disuse, like he'd spent his free time snorting exhaust fumes. How'd you know it was me? The Jedi immediately countered, cocky grin only hitching higher on his face. It was, Fox had to admit, an objectively handsome grin. You spent half a shift trying to convince a commander to let you borrow a guard speeder, Fox said, voice flat. Thier had almost let the Jedi get away with it, too. It was for a good cause, the Jedi said smoothly, waving a hand through the air. Altruistic, selfless, honorable, all that good stuff. Yeah, sure. Fox's shift was officially over. He could now go back to HQ and inhale some caff before his next shift. Maybe he'd even get to sit down for half an hour. Maybe he'd get a snack. Maybe he could cram in a 5-minute sonic and get the glass out of his hair. Ah, the joys of working the Senate Rotunda. Fox rolled his shoulder and popped his knee joints into place before stepping out of place. There was a shiny already headed his way, throwing him a knock-kneed, stiff-armed salute. At ease, trooper, Fox said, tired. When he looked back at where the Jedi had been, the man was gone without a trace. Fox chalked the whole thing up to exhaustion-induced delirium and left it at that. The dream wasn't always the same, but it always started the same. There was a blinking red light on his Vambrace, which meant he had an incoming message from Chancellor Palpatine. Fox answered the message, and then, good soldiers followed orders. Dissidents was to be punished. Traitors deserved no mercy. CC-1010 was directed to a faithless politician's high-rise through the maintenance shaft of the towering steel and glass building. He left no trace of his passing. He had exchanged white plastoid for black, with a helmet both sleeker and more unwieldy. It blocked his peripherals, made his vision tunnel strangely. The commander flexed his hands and his gauntlets, feeling at a remove from his own body. the dream would end. Please, let it end. Please, please tell Lord Sidious I can give him more. I'll do whatever he wants. The information is his. What more does he want? What more could he possibly want? The politician was babbling. CC-1010's temples thudded in pain with every word he spoke, and the commander backhanded him to stop the endless pleading. The begging, the whining, it was all the same. They were all the same. His master had commanded him to execute his directives, and good soldiers followed orders. They all died the same, too. Smoke curled up in a thin wisp from the blackened, charred hole between the politician's eyes, and the smell of burned meat filled the air of the room. CC-1010 bent, heaved the man's body over his shoulders, and made his way to the trash chute hidden discreetly at the back of the apartment. In a high-rise this expensive, waste was sent directly to an incinerator. There was simply no room otherwise. CC-1010 locked the door of the trash room behind him. And what a fucking waste for a man to have an entire room dedicated to throwing shit out. And got to work. He couldn't very well cram an entire man down the chute. Assorted limbs, however, worked just fine. There was a gut-hook-tipped serrated knife in his belt. The hilt of it fit into his palm like a birthright. Fox had a headache. He couldn't remember the last time he hadn't had a headache. There was gunk under his nails again, and he smelled like a copper mine. He didn't know what he wanted. A hand carting through his hair, a shoulder to lean against, a reassuring smile. He didn't know. There was nothing left to want. The next time Fox saw the Jedi, he, the Jedi, was getting arrested. By Fox. They did the whole act. Fox read the Jedi's rights, ignoring the Jedi's shit-eating grin the whole time, and let him languish in one of their holding rooms. A representative of the Jedi Order will be by shortly to pick you up, Fox told him. The Jedi spread his gloved hands and gave Fox a smile that was probably winning for other people. Or you could just let me go. This was not standard operating procedure. No. What if I say pretty please? No. With a Jogon on top? No. Fox got up and pushed the flimsy Duraplast chair back in, staring the Jedi down. He wasn't sure what kind of business the Jedi Order had going on, but he'd heard from Bly, who'd heard it from Neo, who'd heard it from Faye, that this particular Jedi was like their version of Spec Ops. They'd caught him in one of their semi-frequent raids of a bar that doubled as a hotbed for illegal off-world smuggling and SEP activity, namely, the buying and selling of information. Fox could feel the preemptive headache the soon-to-come paperwork was already giving him. And that was before the other Jedi even showed up. At 1900 hours, exactly, Jedi Master Mace Windu and Commander Pons of the 91st Mobile Reconnaissance Corps were shown into his office and commanded, politely, but commanded nonetheless, that one Quinlan Vos be released into Master Windu's custody. Fox stared for a long moment, and then stared some more, then wished he hadn't just finished the last cup of caff of the day. Thier had put him on a medically mandated caffeine cap of less than 1,000 milligrams for the last 3 weeks, and Fox was beginning to feel the effects. That, or his body was starting to progress into mass organ failure. At this point, I'd pay you to take him off my hands. This wasn't SOP, but it wasn't like he could refuse a Jedi Master, much less the general of the First System's army. Master Windu snorted, rubbing a hand down his face, and suddenly looking much more human. He didn't look like he was carved out of granite like he usually did. He just looked like a man. A tired, dead on his feet, worn-out man.
Sounds like Vos. I tried to go through the proper channels, but they redirected me to you.
Yeah, that sounded about right. Why do the extra work when there was a clone handy to shoulder it off to?
Right this way, sir.
Fox directed Master Windu and Pons down the long, long hallway to the holding cells, bucket jammed back on his head. Even so, he could feel Pons' shit-eating grin boring into the back of his head. Pons had his bucket on, too, but Fox had a finely-tuned bullshit radar, especially for his batchmates, and he'd clocked Pons the second he'd stepped into his office. There was something gleeful in the set of his spalders.
Boss was where Fox had left him, slumped over and snoring into the interrogation table. When Fox opened the door and let Master Windu and Pons in, he snapped up so hard he toppled his chair back and tumbled onto the floor.
This is what happens when you don't follow mission parameters, Night Boss,
Master Windu said, in a voice filled with so much long-suffering, it would have put Alpha 17 to shame. In my defense, Vos splayed his hands in the air from where he was supine on the floor. The mission parameters are really fucking stupid, Your Honor. Fox wanted to leave them at it. He really, really did. He was halfway out the door when Pons grabbed him by the spalder and reeled him back into the room. Fox didn't have to look under Pons' bucket to know he was grinning like a loon under there.
Permission to be dismissed, sir? Fox gritted out, pointedly not looking in Pons' visor.
Permission denied, Commander. I need you in on this.
Mace gestured with a hand, and the stack of chairs pushed up against one wall unstacked themselves and lined up neatly along one side of the table.
Take a seat.
Fox took a seat. Am I officially released into your custody, Master Windu? Voss asked the ceiling.
Unfortunately,
Master Windu told him, cutting his eyes to Pons and narrowing them. On a man any less composed, it would have been an eye roll.
Great, cool, fantastic!
Vos did a complicated and unnecessarily acrobatic movement that resulted in righting his chair and his cuffs falling with an unceremonious clank to the table.
I don't need a partner, Mace. I work fine on my own.
You don't get a choice. We need you to stop getting arrested, Mace replied, one dark eyebrow arching. And you need to have someone to bail you out if it gets too dicey.
That's my specialty.
Vos bounced both eyebrows and grinned, mouth quirking up higher on one side than the other.
Making things dicey. The bar was already so low, and yet here he was.
I am going to be very clear with you, Night Vos, for a brief moment.
Master Windu leaned across the table, face tight with intent.
I will not lose another Jedi under my purview. Not one more. If this means making you work with a cavalcade of people to achieve your ends, then I will not hesitate to do so. Am I understood?
Vos met Master Windu's gaze squarely. For a moment, he broke and looked away, face blank. There were deep crow's feet at the corners of his eyes, and his face was lined with more laugh than frown lines. But Fox thought he looked almost as old as Windu just for a moment.
Yeah, Vos said, oddly subdued.
His shoulders slumped under his dark tunics, then straightened again. I hear ya.
Commander.
Windu turned his gaze on Fox. Fox snapped to even more attention, if that was possible. Sir, the guard could recognize Voss as an undercover operative, sure, but that would defeat the point of undercover. Where was this going? Are you willing to work with Knight Voss to achieve his directive? Windu asked, splaying both hands across the table. The long and short of it is that someone is feeding information about our side to the Separatists on a scale never seen before. The Senate has done nothing to investigate these claims. This information leak is getting my knights, my family, killed. We've had 7 instances of this affecting the war on a massive scope. This cannot continue any longer.
Prime's Harry Wright fucking nutsack.
Fox delicately braced a hand against the table, wondering at the sheer massive scope of it all.
What's the clearance level for this, sir?
Right now? Windu glanced at Voss, then Fox. The Jedi Council knows. Our best shadows.
Aww, I'm one of your best shadows?
There was no other word for it.
Voss preened,
tossing his head to flick some of his locks over one shoulder, and giving the room at large the smuggest grin Fox had ever had the displeasure to see.
Every day, I regret taking a vow of nonviolence in the exception of self-defense, Windu said to Fox.
Pons' Spalders twitched up and down in a silent, minute laugh.
Yes, our best shadows, and Knight Voss, my commander, and now you. Commander Pons has vouched for you, and with the situation on Coruscant quickly becoming untenable for our undercover operative, we found it expedient to pull you in. Do not make me regret it.
Yes, sir, Fox said. This cannot continue any longer. Windu's words echoed around the inside of Fox's skull, the iron of his voice strident against his thoughts. This was getting Fox's Vaudet killed. They were dying more and more every day, and the shinies were only getting shinier.
I'll need to update my officers on the situation.
Windu gave him a nod, face softening slightly.
I understand that this may put you in a hard position, and I apologize for springing this on you. It's...
Windu sighed and rubbed his hand over his head again.
Feel free to pull in who you like, but the details of this cannot leave this room. Anything you find, pass on to Knight Voss. Nothing over comms, not even encrypted channels.
Sir, Fox nodded. He could do that. The thought that there was a leak big enough that not even secure GAR frequencies were safe was troubling.
Good man.
Windu stood and fixed Voss with a stern look, brows drawing together.
Will you work with a guard, Voss?
I can work with the guard,
Voss said, nodding a few times.
I didn't ask if you can. I have no doubt about your ability. Will you work with the guard?
Windu asked. Voss worried his lower lip between his teeth. The silence stretched long.
Yeah, he said at last. I will.
He twisted a wrist against one binder, then the other, and they clicked open and fell to the table with a clatter. Fox's annoyance ratcheted several notches higher, and then again when Voss stuck a hand out to him.
You pass your information along to him, but you are equals in this,
Windu said to them both. Equals, sure. Fox went to shake Quinlan's hand, but Quinlan pulled Fox's hand to his chest, gauntlet and all, and pressed a gentle, lingering kiss to the back of the red-painted plate of plastoid covering his knuckles. Fox felt his mouth dry before he even realized. To his everlasting shame, a garbled, stuttered noise left his throat. It was no more than a crackle through the vocorder, but Pons Spalders tilted in another snigger beside him.
This was going to be
a disaster. Not even 2 days later, Fox revised his opinion. This wasn't a disaster. This was a grade A, first order, fresh off the hot plate, fuckfest. Fox's day had gone something like this. Lay in bed. Get up. Knock back some of the sludge in the mess, masquerading as calf. Go through forms. Fill out forms. Bust open a closet in which the senators for Uter and Kinyan had both managed to get stuck in. Go through more forms. Fill out more forms. Get called up to the Senate dome to tell a senator that no, the guard did not address noise complaints. Find that the stack of data pads on his desk had somehow tripled over the last 2 hours. Despair at the state of his inbox. Etc. 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 And then... Fox's comm fuzzed with an incoming transmission. Audio only. From the Jedi. The slow blue blip blinked several times. Fox answered.
Hey, Foxy Woxy, Criff, can I... Might have done something stupid. Come and get a...
You're breaking up, Fox snapped, already out the door and jogging down the street as he typed commands into his Vambrace. The urge to block the transmission was so strong. He could go back to his forms and slowly compress into a cube of clone trooper under the crushing weight of his duties. Instead, he was falling in with Thier and Hound and a handful of on-duty troopers. Ink, Asper, Hugh, Jack, and the Shiny with the messy mohawk and scar covering his jaw.
General Voss, what's your position?
Not a mother... In general, Fox. Ow! Shit! Carking Sith-milking health. Level 4839. Thanks, love you, bye!
The fucker hung up on Fox before he could get another word in edgewise. He gaped at the comm for a moment, stunned by the sheer inefficiency of it all.
Fox? Thier nudged his arm, bucket in the crook of his elbow. I want you to pinpoint where his call came from.
Fox popped the little comm unit out of his bracer and handed it off to a weapons specialist. Asper took it between thumb and forefinger like it was a large bug.
He's on level 4839, 288 levels down. For those of you who need the extra help, how long do you need?
For a level that far down? Asper whistled, already slicing the frequency. About as long as it would take for us to get there. 10-15 minutes, provided the good general hasn't done anything weird to his signal.
Good. Fox snagged Shiny. Vance, he remembered. With the thick, knotted scar that had gouged great slices out of his jaw and half of his mouth. And then they were off. Fox had learned early that if one didn't keep track of all of their shinies, they tended to get lost. Or worse. The Undercity was getting worse by the week, if not the day. They passed the humming power grid of level 5000, and Fox signaled for a tighter formation. If they were going even deeper, they needed to stick together. It had sounded like Voss was in the middle of an active firefight. Fox could only hope that the Jedi would hold out long enough for them to get there. He would hate to let General Windu down.
Bear right.
Asper's voice was a crackle in his ear as they cut through the air like a swarm of carrion birds. The bright wash of blue and red lights painted the insides of Fox's eyelids. The levels got darker and warmer as they went down and down, the reek of rusting metal and human waste permeating the air. Even with the filter of his helmet, Fox could smell faint whiffs of it, like an oncoming headache. Hugh and Hound peeled away, speeding faster and faster until they were falling more than flying. They would scout the area out and continuously report back. The video feed for their HUDs popped up on Fox's right, just in his peripherals. Signal still going strong?
Yeah, catch.
Asper tossed Fox's comm unit through the air in a loose underhand, shoulders hunching up in what was sure to be a malicious cackle. "I'm demoting you to shiny." Fox snatched it out of the air and steered the speeder with his knees as he clicked it back into his vambrace.
"You love me too much to do such a thing."
Asper pointed along the route they needed to take with two fingers, veering dangerously close to the corner of a building that rose far above their heads and out of sight.
"Blaster fire and incendiaries ahead. Someone sliced the police droids, too. The whole sector is dark,"
Hound reported back, voice tinny with distance.
"Proceed with caution. No sign of the Jedi, sir."
"Why didn't we hear about this earlier?" The droids should have reported back once they'd been cut off. Someone should have seen the hole in their surveillance.
"We don't know."
That was Hugh, with his low, rough voice.
"They're just gone, like someone redirected them all."
Fuck. Fox swerved around a bulking street cleaner droid. They could already hear the sharp, resounding retort of blasters and panicked shouting. Even this far into the Undercity, an active firefight would still draw attention. "Ink, Jek, Asper, cordon off the area. Vance, Thier, on me. Hound, Hugh, keep circling. Pick off any outliers. Set weapons to stun." A chorus of "Yes, sirs," followed. Fox was vaulting off his speeder before the brakes fully engaged, coming to a running stop. He flicked the safety off his blaster and advanced. "Coruscant guard!" he roared, vocoder projecting his voice loud enough to be heard over the din. "Drop your weapons and raise your hands in the air." It didn't work. It rarely did in the Undercity. The Jedi had managed to piss off members of the Black Sun Syndicate. The stylized, spiky sun of the Syndicate had been tattooed onto the foreheads of most of them. There was an entire array of them, 15 or 16 Fallines and Pantorans, and even a hulking Bith in their backline. They were shouting and taking pot shots in a cacophony of noise. One Falline, the leader, Fox thought, was screaming orders that were being ignored wholesale. Half of them turned to address the guard, shoving past their comrades to take wild shots at the red-armored guard. "Thorn, send a riot squad for backup. Transmitting coordinates now," Fox said into his vambrace, the barrel of his gun propped on his forearm as he shot back. The Jedi had to be pinned down behind that hunk of smoking duracrete back there. The only thing Fox couldn't fathom was why the Jedi hadn't pulled out his laser sword and cut through the Syndicate like stray Jedi were wont to do.
"Copy. Keep your shebs in one piece, Commander. ETA 10.
Copy. Fox's shebs were too fine not to keep in one piece. He eyed the hunk of duracrete. He thought he could just see the tip of the Jedi's head peeking out above it. That was a stray lock, looking singed and mussed in the dim light. "Jedi's in the corner. I'm making a break for it. I want cover fire and eyes on that other side." 2 minutes in and no casualties, but they'd managed to drop a good fourth of the Syndicate. Fox felt like pushing his luck, just a little.
"Go, we have you covered."
Thier sounded cool and collected, as he always did, the steady retort of his blaster crackling in the background.
"Most of them can't shoot worth shit anyway."
"Noted." Fox kept his blaster up and his bucket low as he dove out of cover, and scurried as fast as he could over the terrain, zigzagging and rolling behind the scrap metal and overflowing rubbish bins that littered the street. His boys had done a good job of cordoning the area off. With this many onlookers, they couldn't use a cannon or repeating blaster without civilian casualties. The Syndicate had no such problem. Fox felt a line of burning pain zip past, just above his hip, just through the gap where a cuirass met codpiece. He slid to his side against the underside of the duracrete barrier, breathless as he checked the wound. It was cauterized shut, nothing more than a graze. It had missed any major arteries or muscles, but it still hurt like a motherfucker when he put weight on that side. Commander? Voss turned to gape at him, dirt and blood turning his face a pasty gray-black in the dark. His eyes were heavy-lidded with exhaustion. Voss, Fox gritted out, peering out the other side of the barrier. The Syndicate were still keeping the rest of his troops at bay, and, hopefully, no one was fool enough to follow him. The barrier was barely covering the two of them as it was. Where's your laser sword? My saber? Voss shook his head and grimaced. It's too identifying. I can't take it with me on deep cover jobs. Great. There went that plan, then. Fox watched a shot sink itself into the duracrete not 2 inches past his boot. They were keeping up a steady rain of fire now, though their attention was still split between the Jedi and the guard. Static fuzzed and feedback whined as Hugh took a hit, then check. Non-fatal, thank the little gods. Are you injured? Nah. Voss's teeth were a flash of white as he grinned and bounced both eyebrows like the filthy degenerate he was. If you have a spare blaster, I can even show you how well I shoot. Don't lose this one. Fox unholstered his spare and handed it over, checking the safety and charge pack for him. Voss reached out for the blaster. He traded the thin, light gloves he always seemed to wear for a pair of heavy-duty ones, leather and metal instead of cloth. The Jedi clumsily cocked the blaster and sighted down the barrel, mouth twisting. He was more familiar with a blaster than most Natborns, but far from Fox and his Vaudet. It would have to do for now. This thing is crumbling while we sit here, Fox said, watching a chunk of smoking duracrete fly free and skitter across the pavement. Any Jedi mind tricks you got planned?
A few. Can you take out the leader?
Yeah. Fox tilted his head from side to side and eyed the tight corner. Don't get yourself shot anywhere vital.
No promises.
The Jedi didn't even count it off. He just popped out from behind the barrier and ran out. Crossfire be damned. Fox cursed, fervent as a prayer, and followed. The leader had finally marshaled his people into something resembling order. They were slowly creeping closer, and Vance, the shiny, was dragging Hugh out of the line of fire behind the smoking wreck of a guard speeder. Fox sighted down the barrel of his blaster, sucked a breath in, and squeezed the trigger. The leader went over with a scream, clutching the juncture of his neck and shoulder. If he wasn't dead already, he would be soon. The Jedi danced between the shots, not even bothering to have the decency to look normal about it. He threw up a hand and the entire scrum of Black Sun mercenaries were tossed back. A long black cylinder rolled across the pavement to tap against Fox's boot. He stared down at it for a moment, uncomprehending. The shining finish of it gleamed dully. Fuck! Fox threw himself backward, already sprinting for the Jedi. He was in a sleeveless tunic yet again, which was no armor to speak of. The blast would shred right through him. The musical chime of the detonator sounded behind him, and the world went searing and heavy and black for a second. His audio screamed with feedback, and Fox slammed into the Jedi as the pavement under their feet gave out.
Ow! Ow, ow, ow! Kark!
The fucking Jedi. Fox groaned and let his head thump back against something. He lifted it again and squinted before flicking his helmet light on. It sputtered and he smacked the side of his bucket, which had to be the worst career choice he'd ever made. The world went blurry and fuzzy and bright. Fox went very, very still. He blinked a few times. The sharp ache at the back of his neck receded just a little, and he could think again. He turned the light off. He turned the light on. It lit up the tunnel they were in a clean, bright sweep of fluorescent light.
Force.
Voss squinted in the light, face pale and sweaty under the grime. What in the 73 Sith hells just happened? Incendiary device, Fox grunted, and heaved himself up, wobbling. The tunnel wavered in and out of his field of vision like a shimmer of heat above a sewer grate. His calm was, well, the less said about it, the better. There would be no calling his troopers for evac. He just had to hope they'd all made it out. Fox and Vos had been the closest to the blast. They would be fine. Fox's heart squeezed for a treacherous moment at the thought of curly-haired Vance, or soft-eyed Hugh lying broken and bloody under Duracrete rubble, or charred and twisted beyond all recognition. Oh, Voss sighed, and wiped a hand over his face, clearing the soot and dust from his skin in a swathe. The gold of his face marking gleamed in the harsh light. You saved me. Don't mention it, Fox grunted, already moving down the tunnel. The blaster burn above his hip was starting to really sting, but they had no choice but to move forward. They'd been blown clear into the storm drains below this particular level. There was no rain on the lower levels of Coruscant, but the runoff had to go somewhere. The tunnel system doubled as a maintenance and electricity grid. Really don't. My knight in plastoid armor. Voss scrambled to catch up, just as wobbly on his feet. He'd still managed to keep hold of his blaster somehow, and clipped it to his belt as they walked. If Fox were to say what he really wanted to say, he would get court-martialed for insubordination. Thank you for coming. Vos looked almost serious, just for a moment. The tunnel pressed in close around them. Vos had to stoop almost to Fox's height, but the top of his locks brushed the ceiling of the tunnel all the same. If Fox had been Wolf's height, just half an inch taller, he might have had to take off his bucket. You called. I wasn't about to leave you to get shot full of holes by the Black Sun, Fox replied. He was an asshole, but he wasn't that asshole. You're needed for this operation. That's what I like about you, Commander. Your commitment to the bit. Vos squinted at the tunnel ahead, tugging two of his locks between middle and forefinger. There should be an access hatch in half a mile along here, along the ceiling. I'll boost you up. We can go back for your men.
No, we make our way to the surface.
That was SOP. When a trooper got separated from their squad, they either made it back to base or stayed in one place long enough for their squad to find them. Neither Fox nor Vos was incapacitated, so they would go up.
They'll be all right.
They had Thier, and Thier had never let him down yet. Vos side-eyed him. His dark eyes gleamed like a pool of still, deep water.
Your helmet's cracked. It's fine.
What if I want to see your beautiful eyes and pulchritudinous face, Commander? What if I want to hear your musical, dulcet tones, my knight?
You're the knight here, not me.
He was a soldier, nothing more.
You can hear my voice just fine.
Vos fell silent. Fox snuck another glance at him. His HUD was staticky and flickering on his left, fritzing out his peripherals and any strategic capabilities.
Why?
It's easier to feel you, Vos said after a moment, when you have your helmet off. No, I can't read minds. No, I can't make you do things against your will. No, I can't plant thoughts into your head. But everyone is connected through the Force. Vos made a motion like he was pushing something away from his chest, then sweeping it back in. It flows through us, binds us. You burn with it, Commander. You're like a young sun in the Force.
Fox's thoughts stuttered to an abrupt halt. He was getting told by a stupid space wizard monk
that not only was he steeped in the mystical sauce that covered the entire galaxy, but he burned with it. He was a sun. What was he supposed to say to that? It's lonely down here, surrounded by stone and metal. I can't feel the beating heart of things. Voss snuck another glance at Fox, teeth flashing in a brief smile. Except you. What if I don't want you to feel my beating heart? Fox managed, voice guttering like a shitty speeder. Tough shit, Voss said happily. I can't turn it off either. Part and parcel of the gift of yours truly. If you were a gift, I'd return you to sender. Fox deadpanned. You wound me, my dear commander. Voss splayed a hand across his chest. It was dark and gleaming with blood. I am, truly. You said you weren't injured. Fox stopped Voss with an arm across his shoulders and made a grab for his hand, stripping off his gauntlet and wrapping his fingers around Voss's wrist. Oh, that. Voss looked down at his hand as if he'd forgotten it was there, eyebrows quirking. Yeah, I lied. I'm fine, though. Walking and everything. Fox took another good look at Voss and swore. He thought it was shock. But Voss's pupils were dilated even in the light. His breathing was light and shallow, and he'd only gotten paler, skin now an ashy umber instead of its usual rich, dark brown. See? Voss tried to tug his hand back. Then again, harder this time. If it weren't for the mission, Fox would murder this Jedi himself. Where were you hit? Voss deflated, his bravado trickling away. For now. Just below my shoulder blade. I still have full range of movement. It just hurts like a Sith milker. Fox turned Voss with a hand on his shoulder and got a good look at his back. Finally, where the burn holes charred into his tunic and a deep gash just under one shoulder blade that was still sluggishly bleeding. Fucking Jedi. Always so self-sacrificial. Fox had heard stories, but he'd never had the displeasure of experiencing it in person. Until now. Next time you're injured or bleeding, you tell me, Fox gritted out. Yes, sir, Quinlan snapped a lazy, improper salute and flashed Fox another grin. This is going to sting, Fox said, more than a little vindictive in his liberal application of antibiotics and skin adhesive. Luckily, he always kept medical supplies in his belt pouches. No hypos, though. You're a very efficient man, Commander, Voss said when Fox had finished. There was little to nothing Fox could do about the burns and scrapes littering Voss's back. They must have been from the blast. The skin of Voss's shoulder was warm and smooth under Fox's palm. Fox snatched his hand back as muscle shifted under skin. Voss peered over his shoulder at Fox, nonplussed. I have to be, Fox said, before his brain could catch up. He stuffed his gauntlet back on, fingers still stinging from the warmth of Voss, and jerked his head down the tunnel. Let's get moving. And so driven, Voss said under his breath, following Fox. The tunnel was bone dry, but smelled like rotting things, hidden far from the light. Fox couldn't remember the last time the biodome had let it rain. Things were getting tighter and tighter as the war slogged on. Even the elite of Coruscant were starting to feel it, if only because they couldn't throw parties every night. He didn't know what to do with Voss. The Jedi was infuriating. Whenever he opened his mouth, Fox descended into a bloodlust so all-encompassing that it took everything in him not to boot the Jedi directly off the tallest spire of the Guard HQ. He was confusing, always saying one thing and meaning another, and then turning around and calling Fox a young son. He was warmer than a trooper, even, and his eyes shone like stars in the deep dark of space. He was many more things than Fox was prepared to handle at the present moment. Maybe prepared to handle ever. Wait. This time it was Voss who threw a hand out to stop Fox, head cocking. His locks rustled over the leather of his tunic, the tiny gold cuffs glittering as they caught and threw the light. Turn off your light. Fox turned off his light. What is it? Back, back, get back! Voss flattened himself into a divot in the tunnel wall and yanked Fox after him. The tunnel was getting colder and colder, Fox realized. That was odd. Hold your breath when she passes. Whatever you do, do not breathe in. Voss clamped a hand over the filter of Fox's helmet, right where his mouth might have been. Be silent. Fucking Jedi. Fox almost peeled himself back off the tunnel wall, tired of cryptic Jedi Bantha shit. The tunnel walls were bleeding. Fox froze as a trickle of something dark, viscous, plopped onto his cuirass and rolled down the plastoid. Blood was oozing out of the porous stone of the tunnel, trickling onto the floor and starting to run down the incline of the tunnel. Voss grew still and silent beside him, tense like a predator ready to spring. The steady pad of bare feet echoed through the tunnel. A Togruta walked around the bend, Montrails tall and sweeping, Leku long enough to brush the tunnel floor. Where her eyes should have been, there were only gaping hollows. She was covered in a flimsy, diaphanous veil that was heavy at the hem with blood. Her gait was steady and measured, each step even and light. The tunnel distorted around her, taller than it should have been, dark swallowing the tips of her montrails. Her face markings shone faintly in the dark with a sickly blue light. Jagged lines swept the length of her cheekbones, and her chin was striated with them. Fox's breath froze in his lungs. He couldn't have breathed even if he wanted to. Her head turned when she passed Fox and Voss. She didn't stop or pause, and her face didn't change. She simply regarded them, hollow eye sockets dark like the endless night of the Undercity. Voss didn't let up on Fox's helmet until the blood trickling down the walls slowed and stopped, and the blood on the floor of the tunnel had coagulated into a clotted mess. He dropped his hand with a quiet shuff and stepped away from the wall of the tunnel, shaking his arms and legs out. What? Fox said, very calmly considering the circumstances. The fuck? Let's keep moving. Voss held out a forearm in a mirror of the courtly gesture Fox only saw in holodramas and from senators like Bail Organa of Alderaan. Fox grabbed it and dragged Voss closer, close until he could almost touch his forehead to Voss's. What the fuck? If you get moving, I'll tell you, Voss said, because he was an evil, capricious man. Fox got moving. She's called many names. Some think she's a ghost, others say she's a demon. There are a lot of interpretations, mostly because no one exactly wants to stop and interview her. Voss stripped off the charred ruins of a glove with his teeth and pressed his hand to the wall, feeling his way along. The rules of the game are simple. Don't breathe in, don't make a sound, don't follow her. Oh, and don't drink the blood. What the fuck? I was an adventurous Padawan, Voss said defensively. Like that made any sense. There are certain academics at the temple that suspect she's a force impression. Like a ghost, but in the force. Urban concentrics often have distinct effects on the force.
Archivist New wrote a very interesting paper on it, positing that... Oh. The Jedi was a nerd. Things were so much clearer now. But I think that interpretation is bullshit. It's pretty clear that she was a person once and not... Vos? Fox tugged at Vos's uninjured shoulder. Vos glanced at him, eyes crinkling at the corners. What, a little talk about ghosts is a thing that... Can it? Fox jabbed a thumb over his shoulder at the Durasteel hatch above their heads. Can you get this open? Oh. Vos blinked. Right, yeah. He lifted a hand up, fingers splayed and straight. The metal of the hatch groaned. The edges buckled and crumpled under invisible pressure. It flew right off its hinges and clattered to the street above. A wave of sound and light washed into the tunnel, overwhelming Fox for a split second. Nice day, Vos said conversationally, like they hadn't just spent hours tramping through a tunnel in the Undercity, steeping in the worst smells Coruscant had to offer. He leaned down even further and laced his hands together in a stirrup, bouncing his eyebrows at Fox with a gleaming leer. Going up, Commander? Fox sighed and put a boot in Voss's hands and a hand on his shoulder. The Jedi flung him up. Fox overshot the pavement by almost 2 feet, and when he landed, the impact juddered through his knees and ankles. His injured hip gave out and he crashed to the Duracrete, just as Vos jumped up and landed on the lip of the manhole, light as a tuka. Sorry, Vos stuck out a hand. You're lighter than I thought. Fox grabbed Vos's forearm and was lifted to his feet like a piece of flimsy for his troubles. It was humiliating. It made his face warm under his bucket in a weird way. Don't mention it. Really don't. HQ was a goddamn circus. When Fox and Vos finally showed up on a borrowed speeder with Vos plastered to Fox's back and hands on Fox's hips, the entire building was in an uproar. Thorn was keeping a lid on it, barely, but it all bubbled over as soon as Fox got in the doors and took his helmet off, throwing it to the floor and accepting the crushing bear hug from a red-faced hound. He watched as his helmet slowly, pathetically, split in two from the force of his throw and the traumas it had been subjected to over the last few hours. I'm all right, Fox said, slightly muffled into Hound's shoulder bell. I thought you were dead, Hound roared directly into Fox's ear, who took it with good grace. Well, I'm not. Told him. That was Thorn, tattooed face lined with stress and worry even as he smiled. It took 2 years off him. Almost made him look like a shiny again. You're too mean to die. Fox made a rude gesture at Thorn, who performed the most complicated and needlessly grandiose jack-off pantomime he'd ever seen. He got a rapid-fire debrief from Hound about the situation, mopped up and cleaned out, no civilian casualties. Jack and Hugh would be back to full health in a matter of days, and was subjected to many pounding backpats and Grizzer's loving attention. When he got a moment to breathe, Fox swung around and grabbed Vos's shoulders, shaking him a little like he would an errant shiny. I'm putting a tracker on you. You can't just put trackers on people. This is outrageous. It's, you will never be able to find it. Fox was not a petty man. He was, however, a vindictive one. He watched Vos stutter and gape with a sense of great, bone-deep satisfaction. You goddamn Sith milker. Overall, the mission was a success. Vos shared a bit of what he'd been after with Fox, later, in a secluded corner where they wouldn't be overheard. Whoever was leaking information was in the Senate. They were high up, too, but no one could, or would, flip on them.
Then he was off again, borrowing a guard speeder and going back to the temple for a debrief and his next assignment. Why then, Fox wondered, was his throat so tight and itchy when he thought about the tender way Voss had looked at him in the dark of the tunnel? Why did his heart squeeze in his chest at the memory of Voss's hand at the small of his back, heavy and unmistakable even through his armor and blacks? Fox didn't see Voss again for almost a 10-day. He did forms, went through his inbox, and finally addressed the data pad scattered on the floor of his office. Fox had a complicated, delicate filing system that consisted of important things go on the desk and everything else on the floor. Thorne had once tried to convince him of the necessary evils of filing cabinets, but had ceased and desisted when Fox had drawn a facsimile of Thorne on one and used it for target practice. He put Voss out of his mind in the following days. They were working together on a particularly stubborn case. That was all. Just because Voss no longer outranked him, technically, somewhat, did not mean that Fox had to go start feeling things. Squishy ideas like camaraderie and care and tenderness were reserved for his batchmates and the Vode under him, but only when the two were not being insufferable dipshits. These things did not apply to any Jedi, much less the worst Jedi out of all of them. Voss came to see him on Gel Day. He did not go through the proper channels. He levered Fox's window open, disabled the alarm on it with a stick of paper-thin bendy magnet, and slithered into Fox's office head first. Fox, who had arranged his desk facing the window and door in preparation for this very eventuality, being invaded, glowered over his nightly stack of data pads. "I come bearing gifts." Voss held up a box. It was dented on one side and was the same delicate shade of pink as a sunburned Sarian. The obresh on the side curled in a way that made Fox's vision squirm and his head hurt. "What?" Fox said, voice flat. "Is that?" "It's a cake." Voss set it on Fox's desk, on top of another data pad, with a flourish, opening the lid. Inside, there was what likely had all the components and parts of a cake, but was undeniably un-cake-shaped. It looked like someone had sat on it. Repeatedly. Somehow, the icing lettering was still readable. "Thanks for saving my ass, Commander." Someone had gotten a little too optimistic about the actual width of the cake, he guessed. "Why?" Fox considered his options carefully, still staring down at it. "Why?" "As thanks for saving my ass." Voss pulled out two plasteel forks, still in their crinkly foil wrapping, and handed one to Fox. "It's not poisoned, by the way."
"I'd still eat it if it was."
"In for a credit and all that." Fox tore open his fork wrapper and took a bite from the less squished side, chewing slowly and savoring the sweetness. Hound had once bought the Command Corps bars of a sweet, dark candy with a savory, salty filling. It tasted a little like that, but with deeper, earthier notes. Voss perched himself on the edge of Fox's desk, heedless of the teetering stack of data pads balanced just behind him, and took great delight in digging chunks out of the very middle of the cake, like the corrupt deviant he was. "You did well. Might have had to resort to really drastic measures without the help of our troopers in red."
"That's my job," Fox said mechanically, tonguing the thick, sludgy frosting gumming up his back molars.
"Yeah, well, thanks for doing your job and saving me." Voss shrugged a shoulder. He was back in his dark Jedi tunic and tabards.
His laser sword swung from his belt, and there were amber beads in his locks now instead of the gold cuffs from before.
You're welcome.
The deeper he got into the cake, the more Fox realized he liked it. It was flavorful like nothing he'd ever had, sweet and a little tart, and the taste lingered at the back of his throat and tongue. Voss managed to finish the cake with him in silence, humming under his breath with pleasure or kicking a heel against the side of Fox's desk at odd moments. When the box was empty, they put their forks in and Fox tossed it into the little waste bin at the foot of his desk. It was too big to fit, really, but he didn't have anywhere else he could put it. When he turned back around, Voss was suddenly much closer, leaned back on one hand and looking down at Fox with his dark, shining eyes. Fox, still sitting in his shitty secondhand swivel chair, froze.
You have icing on your chin, Fox said after a moment.
Voss's eyes didn't leave his face.
Yeah? Yeah.
Fox, possessed by the spirit of something truly idiotic, pressed his thumb to the dark smear and wiped it away.
Thanks.
Voss carefully, deliberately, wrapped his fingers around Fox's wrist. His hand was warm through the thin cloth of his glove, and the thick muscle of his forearm shifted as he brought Fox's hand to his mouth. When he licked the frosting off the pad of Fox's thumb, Fox had the brief, giddy thought that he would pass out right there in his own fucking office. Fox narrowly avoided making an embarrassing noise as Voss leaned closer, as if to press his forehead to Fox's, only to turn Fox's hand over. He pressed a warm, soft kiss to the back of Fox's hand, just above his knuckles. He was still staring at the spot where Voss had been sitting when Voss slipped out without another word. Locking the window in his wake, taking his bendy magnet with him. His hand was warm and tingly, which would have been alarming if Fox weren't so damn lightheaded already. Was he coming down with something? Had Voss given him some sort of infectious disease? Was he suffering blood loss? Food poisoning? Fox rubbed the back of his hand and imagined he could still feel the fading warmth of Voss's mouth on his hand.
He was so fucked.